Leadership, that's the point which we want to discuss today. Leadership is an art of gathering different people having different characters and abilities and grouping them together to achieve a predetermined goal. To develop the leadership ability, the most fundamental thing that one should develop is the ability of following himself first, what he is going to teach others. For example, if you want to teach somebody yoga, simple theory will not be enough. You should be able to teach him the various intricacies of the body management, breath management, and keeping the position together in the correct posture. This you have to show it yourself, and later by commanding the group you can see that all the people in the group are performing the yoga correctly. So the first point a leader must have is himself he should be an expert in the work he wants to the group to follow. The next point, he should not be critical, but he should be a disciplinarian. Now, this is two different aspects joined in the same way. To criticize is finding fault without telling him what you actually want from him. That is criticism. We criticize the government that it is not doing properly. But if we are given that post, what can we do? That is criticism. The same thing happens in all organizations. We criticize that such and such a man is not doing properly. So in such times I always tell, okay, you take up the responsibility and do it. If you are saying and criticizing that such and such a thing is not being done properly, and if you know how to do it properly, you do it. But if actually you know how to do it properly, you will not criticize, you will do it. That is why it is said that criticism is wrong. Criticism is wrong because of two things. Because whom you are criticizing is not there to defend himself. We always criticize behind the backs. Therefore, whom you are criticizing is unaware that he is being criticized. And probably, if one hears the answers he gives to the criticism, probably it will be a shock to the man who criticizes it. So what I am saying, the second point in leadership is not criticism but an iron discipline. Discipline, regularity. That is exactly what we were discussing yesterday also about time management. So a leader must know how to manage the time of different people for the same cause. The cause is the same. We are building a house. We have a carpenter, we have an electrician, we have a cement worker. If a correct leader is there, he can so plan the things that the carpenter will be doing his own things in such a way that the moment the builder wants the window frame or something, it will be ready to be fitting there. But suppose the electrician is not consulted and the builder goes on. Then the wiring point comes, again you will have to break the ceiling and etc. So, the discipline means, it is not saying that the people come on time and leave on time. That is not discipline. Unfortunately, nowadays, everywhere we find in colleges, hospitals, offices, people insist on time, attending on time. Are they coming to the office on the correct time? And are they leaving the office in the correct time? They do it. But in between, what they are doing? So the real leadership demands that each man is exploited. You underline this word, exploited. You are supposed to exploit, not use. Exploitation means the maximum use until he falls down. So what should we do? We select a group, and the leader knows at least the ABCs of all the possible working phenomena that is going to be undertaken by the different groups. He is not yet the expert in all the fields, but at least he should know a working knowledge. But he should be an expert at least in one field, leader. And then, without criticizing, I am telling about discipline, iron discipline. Iron discipline means using each member of the group to which you are a leader to his fullest extent without overtiring him. Again, you underline this word, overtiring. I mean, he should be tired, but he should not be overtired. That means by next morning he should be ready for work. If he is overtired, he will need a rest for 3 or 4 days. He should be sufficiently tired so that he cannot go to other places but just goes home and sleeps. So this is the second point, discipline. And then the third point comes, competition. Healthy competition. You see that there is a competition between the group workers in discharging their duties. The nature of work, the quantum of work, the quality of work, taking all these three into account, the leader should have a time-bound program to be given to the workers. You should do this much of work today. The other man will do that much of work. And later in the evening, you both should piece your work together to see if you have done the required quanta of work or not. And always the work given must be more than what they can tackle. The leader should be so intelligent that he should give just sufficient work which he will be able to fulfill just in time with profuse sweating. Not an easy task. But he should not be overburdened so that he will not turn up the next day. Because if he feels that he cannot do the work, and because of the iron discipline, next day he will not come. So the third point is giving that job to such an extent, taking care of the abilities of the man, that he has to sweat, but he will be able to fulfill. If he sweats enough, he can fulfill it. So that will be a test of how sincere he is. But the target must be well balanced. They should depend upon the ability of the worker, not the ability of the boss. The boss may be able to do it very fast, but the man who is on the seat may not be so fast. So the third point is the quantum of work must be proportional to the abilities of the individual plus a little bit, so that every day the work will be more and more. The most important point in this leadership program is the art of able to keep people at ease, recreation. If the boss comes and the people feel tense, there is no use of such a boss. He may feel he is okay. He will think that people get up when I come. They shiver at my name. But only shivering will be there and there will be no work. So the boss has to have a double face. One is an iron disciplinarian. The other is a man who can understand the problem and suggest a solution, not only in the office work, but to personal problems also. That is most important. That is why I use the word recreation. So when a boss comes, they should feel that they can discuss their family problems also, if wanted. And there again the psychology part is important. If they are going on pouring their woes, everyone will tell that he is busy, he has some problem at home, therefore he cannot work. So that should not be the boss's attitude. But the boss must be in such a way that he should be able to understand the requirements of his group and then go to that man who needs his advice or sympathy and give it to him fully, 100%. So leadership is a very different thing. I heard a story once that in the French Revolution, one leader was being interviewed by a press reporter in some restaurant. He was talking, the leader was answering questions and this and that. Suddenly there was a big sound and jargon and noises, and a group was going, marching ahead. The leader stopped because of the sounds. The newspaper reporters were very curious and seeing what is happening, the placards and this. The leader was sipping some juice or something, who was being interviewed. Suddenly he jumped from his seat and said, "I am supposed to lead this rally and I am sitting here." Many leaders are like that. They are not leaders, but the people think they are leaders. Indian politics is the best example for such leaders. Raja Ram Mohan Rai, Gandhi, Nehru were leaders who had a cause, who has a goal, and they convinced the people, the group, to go to that goal. But now it is the mass which decides the goal and the leader helplessly follows it. Some tax has to be administered. Just today I was seeing in the paper, the municipality wants to take entry charge for park going people in the morning, 2 rupees or something. So there is the MLA, local MLA. So just today I was sitting in the doctor's, waiting for the doctor to be free. They wanted to raise money in the municipality. So they said they will have an entry fee for 9 parks in Bangalore city. So there is an uproar now. We won't allow to be taxed. Immediately the MLA comes to the scene and says, "Yes, we will take signature campaign and I will put it to the municipality." How can there be tax imposed without the knowledge of an MLA? You are understanding the point. But once there is an uproar, you want to abolish the tax. So who is the leader? Who is the leader? No one individual. That is why the problems in India are in the family also. In the family also the same thing happens. In individual life the same thing happens. We go to a friend who is confident enough to advise you. It is not that he is an all-knowing sage. But we are so weak to think ourselves that we depend on somebody else's opinion, what to do, what not to do. So this mentality is common to all. So the leader must know this and see that mentality is satisfied. He will not say that he will do what he wants. But the desire of a man to tell his woes to something, to tell his problems to somebody, he will give a ear, but he will be keeping an eye on the watch also, how much time is being wasted by hearing these problems. But he has to hear. If the leader cannot be sympathetic, he will not succeed. So the first one, he must be an expert in the subject. Number two, do not criticize but have an iron discipline. Third, competition. Have a healthy competition between the individuals. Fourth one, be sympathetic. But sympathetic doesn't mean that you will sympathize with them and stop the work. Sympathetic only means, yes, I know it is very difficult, but you have to do it. I understand it is very troublesome, but you will have to do it. With these things, the one more thing which is most important is the leader must have a sense of proportion, a sense of humor, a sense of dignity, what we call a magnetic personality. All these can be tagged as a magnetic personality. The magnetic personality does not lie on the external beauty of the leader. Gandhi was not a beautiful man, but his photos are more than Hema Malini's or other cinema heroes. So that is what I mean by leadership charisma. When can that attraction come? When the leader does what he advises others to do. His life must be an example to the group. This is most important than all the four above mentioned. All the four is depending on others, how you are supposed to influence others. But this one is transforming yourself into a leader. So this transformation of a leader again comes from meditation. That is why I say, what is that one thing which you know makes you expert in all things is meditation. But then how can meditation make you a good leader? What is the rationale? What is the logic? Take the four points one by one and see how meditation helps you get you mastery on those four points. Number one, I said knowledge, expertise. What we say, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Expertise in knowledge is yoga. In which thing? In everything. Whatever you do, you should be an expert in it. How can meditation give you that? Then we should know what is knowledge. What is knowledge? Your brain cells do not understand English. So you start learning English. What happens then? Slowly, your brain cells start vibrating to a group of English syllables and letters and sentences, and you start understanding. Is it not? So how did you learn English? By allowing your brain cells to vibrate to the required level. For this, what did you do? You practiced. That is the simple thing. You practiced. Can you learn English without practice? Or for that, anything without practice? The general answer is no. But the real answer is yes. You can become all-knowing, omniscient. You can. Do you heard about Sat Sai Baba? I had my friends in international hostel. They come from West Indies. They went to Puttaparthi in 1971 or so. They were called for an interview. And they said that Baba talked with the native West Indian language to them. Native. And that is the experience of all people. And then there is another example of my own guru, Pandit Sri Ram Sharma Acharya. One day he was walking in Shanti Kunj. At that time the quarters were being built, Lakshmi Bhavan, opposite to Tripada. There was an expert engineer. He resigned his job and he came to Guruji to work with him. And Guruji said, I think something is wrong there. He went and saw. No, Guruji, everything is fine. That night at 12 o'clock, it collapsed. The building collapsed. It was under construction. It collapsed. How did he do it? He is not an engineer, we know it. And then there is another example from Guntur itself in 1984. Ranganna Babu. He used to get his earnings by carrying water piles to home to home. Water pitchers. Neela Kavidi. He is completely unread. Motubarantani. He does not know even the alphabet. So one day, this is a long story, but to cut it short, one of his devotees, Sanilla, is employed in a German firm. And some machinery fault developed. And he returned home because experts have to come from Germany to correct it. They came after 10 days. They couldn't correct it. Then, laughingly, this Sanilla asked Ranganna Babu, can your Rama tell what is wrong with the machine? He said, yes, it is very simple. A bolt has fallen. You just remove the bolt and fix it. They went and saw it. They just fixed the bolt, the machine went. So, if when you know that meditation can give such a omniscient knowledge, and if you don't practice it twice a day, what does it mean? You don't want it. We want only change and vibhutis, not this omniscient knowledge. So for a leader, daily meditation is highly essential. Very highly essential, even from the psychological point of view also, because it gives it rest. It soothes the nerves. But this is only a physical aspect which the modern psychologists are talking about. But I am talking about the omniscient knowledge, where you can guess beforehand what is going to happen today and take correct measures. In Siddhi Sai Charitra we find they were eating. Suddenly there was a sound and Sai Baba said, stop. Nobody understood what happened. They finished their food. They came out. The roof collapsed. What did he do? How could he do? The simple thing is meditation. So for a leader, this meditation is highly essential. That is why Mahesh Yogi is successful in America and he is not successful in India. Because in India, we do not use ourselves. We are never tired. But in foreign countries, they tire, they work, they think. Now they want something soothing. And his transcendental meditation helped them. 6,000 pages of proof that omniscience is possible. Scientific proof, so-called. Because already our yogis know it. So why I am talking about this? If you want to become a good leader, you have to be a good meditator. And even if you don't know how to meditate, suppose a problem comes, what do? We sit down, close our eyes, and think. That is meditation. But if you know the trick of meditating, not only your knowledge, but the entire knowledge of the universe can seep into you. we go and search for something in computer, are you supposed to know that subject? You need not know the subject. You should know how to handle the computer. And our brain is a mega computer, not even mega computer, mega to the power mega. So if you think that the computer can give an answer to any problem which you do not know, you accept it. Then why don't you accept that your brain can furnish an answer to any problem? But I can't do it, but Patel can do it, because he knows the operation of the computer. We should know the operation of the brain. Why I am talking about this in leadership is because the leader is supposed to control the brains of all the people in the group. So again we come to the, whatever I say, it will again come back to meditation. So now you understand why leadership, meditation is essential. Then what is the next point? Criticism. When do we criticize, actually?
He doesn't do well.
He doesn't do well. Or you think you can do it better than him. But sometimes it says Gavaskar and Tendulkar also, even though we don't know how to bat. Sometimes. Not always. So what does criticism actually mean? Finding fault with others. It is a character, it is a negative character, you have to remove it. It is a habit, that's all. It is just a habit that has been inculcated from time immemorial. We don't know from where these origins are. So we should be free of criticism. But then what should we do? We should show the fault and tell the man how to correct it. And this knowledge from where will you get? From meditation. So next point, third point?
Competition.
Competition means there should be the ability of the participants which have a common platform to compete. They should at least know the fundamentals. Suppose you want to put a competition for me in French language. I will fail without even competing, because I don't know French. So when you want to put people into competition, you should know their individual talents and also their latent hidden possibilities which they themselves may not be knowing. You try to understand this point. Many times we feel very tired. We say, no, I can't get up and I can't walk. And really you are tired. It is not a joke, and you are not saying to avoid work. But really you are so much tired that you fall flat. But just suppose at that time somebody comes with a knife and says, if you don't run, I will stab you. Then what will you do? You will certainly run. From where did you get that extra energy? So what I want to tell is, you have an extra energy. When you are completely tired, you think you cannot do anything, you remember you have tremendous resources of energy. But how to tap them? Again you have to meditate. To tap those tremendous sources of energy in others, not in yourself. Arjuna said he will not fight. He will not fight with his relatives. He will not kill his grandfather. He knows that he has to kill. He knows that he has to kill. Because Bhishma has decided to fight with Duryodhana opposite to Arjuna. So if the war is inevitable, then what has Arjuna to do? He has to kill his grandfather. What probably, I think, I don't know what happened actually 5,000 years back. But probably Arjuna thought that if the real moment of fight comes, probably the grandfather will say, no, I will not fight. I will not fight with my own people, with my own grandsons. But that didn't happen. So Arjuna felt nervous to fight with his own grandfather, Bhishma the Terrible. He cannot be killed until he wants to kill himself, wants to die himself. Then what did Krishna do? that is the correct leader. If you can read the second chapter, you know how to cajole anyone in such a depressed condition to a great warrior. Warrior. He didn't want to fight, but he could cajole him and bring back his spirits to work and win. So that is what the leader should do, to cajole the people. So I was telling about the leader's ability to take maximum out of the worker, not minimum, not the allotted work, but the maximum work which he can give, not what you think you want, but what he can give. So the leader must have this difference. It is not what you want that is important, but what the subordinate can give. Extract it to the maximum. And that is where the Gita becomes so important in daily life also, not for spiritual living, for retired man. Gita and spiritualism is not for retired people. It has been given in a war front. You have to fight instant. At that moment only, you don't even have time to think. So how to tap the inner resources? There Krishna says, I know your past lives also, but you do not know your present life. Not even the present life next day. I know your past life, it automatically means he knows his future also, because he already knows the present. So this is the perfect leader who knows the past, the present and future. But how to get that knowledge? Again meditation. So when I say always that you meditate, meditate and you will get this, just by meditation and sitting you will not get it. Electricity will run a fridge. Electricity will run an iron. Electricity will run your computer. Electricity will run your fan. But suppose the electricity is there and these machines are not there, what happens? No use. So leader is like a electricity and the individuals are like various machines, and the electricity should go into the machine, charge it and make best use of it, perfect use of it. Then how to do that? Only in meditation you will know it. It can't be explained by words. Just how to swim. In Benares I had a friend, this has rarely happened. He wanted to learn to swim. Naturally, when you are staying near Ganges, in the banks of Ganges, seeing so many people swimming, you would like to swim. So what he did, he went to the bazaar, bought all the books available on the art of swimming. He read and read and read. But he didn't have the courage to take the plunge. Somebody said there is a very good book in... Mihir Sen was someone was there at that time, who very famous swimmer. He wrote a book, I think. I'm not sure about it. They said or he wrote an article about swimming or something like that. Then he wanted from London some of his friends to send it so that he can know the art of swimming. So he got it. Do you think he learned swimming? How can you learn swimming?
Jump.
So how can you learn meditation?
Jump.
That's all. There is no use of hearing so many words or so many books. But what will all these words and books will do is, they will create an enthusiasm. They will create a taste, a hunger to learn it. But if you think that sitting quietly is meditation, you are wrong. Meditation is not sitting quietly. Meditation is pursuing a thought without disturbing or deviating from the thought for any length of time. For any length of time. If you want to meditate on rose for 3 hours, you should be able to think about rose only for 3 hours. Then you are a meditator. You are asked to meditate for 5 hours, non-stop. You should be able to think about rose continuously. non-stop. But now what do we think about meditation? It is the starting point. When you want to start an engine, it has to be in the neutral gear. But once you want to move, the gear has to be changed. But we are not even experts in the neutral gear. But anyway, practicing meditation both times, being sympathetic with them, knowing their individual personal problems, knowing their talents, awarding them the required quota of work, and seeing that they do finish it. It is not requesting them. The leader should have the ability to command. He should see that he gets those. And if some of them are not able to do that, he will be in a state of mind to advise them how to do it. If you can remember these points, you can become a good leader and also a good meditator. Good luck.